Bryant Street Publishing presents Love to Hate You by Melissa Schroeder. Read for you by Jean-Paul Mordrig and Holly Warren.
To all of you on the front lines of this pandemic, the doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, hospital staff, truck drivers, EMTs, cops, grocery store workers, pharmacists, and all essential workers. Thank you for your service. Chapter 1. Nancy. I come awake with a start, my heart hammering in my chest as my mind tries to figure out what's happening. I blink against the bright light coming in through the window. I'm home. For a second there, I wasn't sure. Was that noise a part of my dream? I lay quietly, listening, waiting. It could have easily been a dream because I drove straight from Amarillo last night after a whole day of shooting. When I'm exhausted, I tend to have weird dreams, like playing chess with a penguin on a frozen lake weird. And I am exhausted, both mentally and physically. I hear another sound, like a window opening. Fear hits me square in the chest, and I realize that I can't take another breath. Did I set the alarm? No, because I'm stupid, and now my headstone will read, "Dumbass didn't set the alarm." My father will make sure of it. Then, the giggling floats back to me. I roll my eyes and slip out of bed, grabbing my phone as I go. I stomp out to the living room and stop short of the scene in front of me. Everly Spencer is standing by one of the windows that face the street. She's holding a paper bag and a drink carrier as she tries to coax her bestie Becca through the window. She's not going to call Josh on us. Besides, Josh would never arrest us. They're talking about Josh Collins, our sheriff. She's right. He won't arrest them, but I might just call him to screw with them.
You don't know that, Becca says.
Everly sighs, the sound filled with such irritation that I have to bite my lip to keep from laughing out loud. Happiness chases away a few of the dark clouds that seem to settle over me this season while filming the show. No matter what happened this year, there is one thing I know. It's so good to be back home. After a little more persuading, Becca hikes one leg over the windowsill. I figure now is the time to make my presence known. So, breaking and entering, huh? Becca lets out a squeak and falls back out of the window. There's a muffled crash, but I know my bushes probably saved her from too many bruises. Everly slowly turns around with a smile on her face. Hey, Nancy. I let one eyebrow rise and she laughs. Everly is a few years younger than I am and a few inches taller. She's athletic without being overly muscular, with long hair that tends to change colors as often as Everly changes her moods. So, a lot. Today, it's back to dark brown, but there are streaks of blue. She's wearing a tank top that shows off her colorful tattoo sleeves, a pair of shorts, and short boots. I would look like an asshole trying to appear tough in an outfit like that. Everly looks badass.
Don't worry about me. I'm just lying here dying after I fell out the window,
Becca calls out in a strangled voice. I shake my head as I chuckle and walk to the front door. Why didn't you let her in through the door once you got in?
I was afraid your alarm was on.
My alarm. Ugh. My father insisted I get it because I'm a celebrity, but I rarely engage it when I'm in town. I do keep it on when I spend weeks on the road, but this is Juniper Springs. And yes, I am ignoring my earlier regret about not setting it now that I know I'm safe. The truth is, I'm safe whenever I'm home. There will be a phone call or a text message about Everly and Becca soon enough. As if on cue, my phone vibrates in my hand,